Ready here.
Ready.
Clay? All right. I say let's
do it.
Yep. Is the public in?
Yes, everybody's in.
Great. All right. Good morning, everyone. Today is Tuesday, January 5th. It is 10 o'clock, and I would like to call this meeting to order. Before we get started, I would just like to remind everybody that when I ask for public comment, there may be a little bit of a lag while we wait for some folks to unmute their mics, so just bear with us. If you could all join me and stand in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with justice for all. All right, thank you. First item on today's agenda is election of chairman to the Story County Board of County Commissioners for a term of 1 year pursuant to Story County Code 2.04.008.
So, Jay, if I may, I would like to nominate you as our new chairman of the Story County Commission.
Thank you. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Yeah, I'll second that motion.
All right. We have a motion and a second. All in favor? Aye.
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 Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate the opportunity, and I look forward to it. Item number four is election of vice chairman to the Story County Board of County Commissioners for a term of 1 year pursuant to Story County Code 2.04.008.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to hereby nominate Clay Mitchell to serve as our vice chairman for the next year on the Story County Commission.
All right, so I have a motion. I will go ahead and second that motion. So we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you. Welcome aboard, Clay.
Thank you.
Next on the item is item number five, discussion for possible action, approval of the agenda for January 5th, 2021.
Mr. Chairman, we got a staff comment.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne, County Manager, for the record. We ask that we continue item number 22. It is the Planning Commission appointments for all three districts to the January 19, 2021 meeting at the courthouse or Zoom. Kathy and Wendy are doing interviews, and I'm going through applicants right now.
All right. Is there any other comment or staff comment? Nothing?
Nope.
All right. Noted. Thank you. Can I get a motion for item number five? Oh, excuse me. We've got to go to public comment first. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? I don't see anybody's hands raised, so I think we can move forward.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make that motion. I'll make a motion to approve today's agenda with the one change that we are continuing item number 22 to our next regularly scheduled meeting.
All right. Thank you very much. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second, please.
All right. Motion and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. Thank you. Next is item number six. Approval of the minutes for the November 17th, 2020 meeting. Is there any public comment regarding this item?
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to ask council if since I was not on the board, if I should recuse myself from this vote. I was present at the meeting, but I was obviously not a member of the commission.
Commissioner, you are entitled to vote. You do not have to be present at the meeting in an official capacity in order to vote to approve the minutes.
Okay, thank you very much. I just have one item that I noticed on the minute, and then after the public comment, I'd be happy to make a motion to approve. And that was on item number 20, which was the diesel tax. The recorded vote was 2-1, but it was also recorded as a unanimous vote. And so, if and when I make a motion, it would be to strike unanimous from that to accurately reflect the way that the vote went.
Thank you, Vice Chair. I think that's already been corrected. Is that right?
Okay.
I know. I saw the request.
Yeah, we'll make sure.
Okay. Thank you very much. Is there any public comment regarding the approval of the minutes for November 17th? I see no takers. If I can get a motion, please.
I'm happy to make that motion. Just to clarify, has that already been corrected, or is it something that needs to be mentioned in the motion?
I would include it in the motion just to be safe, Clay.
Okay, very good. Clay Mitchell, make a motion to approve the minutes of the November 17th meeting with the amendment to remove unanimously from item 20, which is the diesel tax.
I'll second that motion.
All right, I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye?
Aye.
All right, motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Next on our items here is item number 7, the consent agenda. before we take any public comment, County Manager Osborne, are there any changes to the consent agenda?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, we would like to ask that we remove item number 3, Roman numeral 3, and move it over to after number 23. Let me just make double sure. That would be to move it to the end of the agenda after number 23. We would like to make an amendment on that. So remove it from the consent agenda and put it on the regular agenda after number 23.
Noted. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? All right, I don't see any takers, so if I can get a motion for the consent agenda.
Chairman, I'll make that motion to approve the consent agenda for today's meeting.
Great, I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
All right, motion and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye?
Aye.
All right, motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Let us move on to item number 8. This is a public comment regarding items that are not on today's agenda. Are there any public comments from anyone in the audience today? Going once. Going twice. All right, before we move on, I would like to take the opportunity to wish my daughter, Isabella Carmona, a very happy 16th birthday. She's due to get her driver's license today, so Story County, keep your eyes out. Happy birthday, sweetheart. Hope you have a nice day. That'll do it for public comment. Next item is discussion only. No action will be taken, no public comment. We're going to start with today's staff reports. First on the list would be the Sheriff's Office. Do we have the Sheriff's Office in-house today?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. We'll be keeping an eye out for your daughter on the streets.
Thank you.
And nothing else at this time.
All right. Thank you, Sheriff. Next, we are moving on to the Fire Department. Do we have Chief Longcar on?
Yes, Commissioner and Council, Jeremy Longcar for the record. The only update I just wanted to add was noticed on the last minutes we were talking about the delivery of the new ambulance. That has been pushed back. We're looking at probably the second week in January, just doing a preliminary look through, make sure everything's all good, and hopefully we can take delivery of it come the end of the month. And that's all I have. No further.
All right. Are there any questions from the commission?
No, thank you.
All right. Next, do we have somebody from Public Works on?
Yes, I am. Good morning, gentlemen. This is Jason Warren for the record.
Good morning, Jason.
I just have a There's a couple quick updates here. The Divide Justice Court project is on schedule and under budget. The ballistic doors and frames are to be delivered on the 18th. Ceiling installation should be complete next week, which will allow air balancing testing. Flooring is on site and ready to be installed. CMO is anticipated by late February. Item number two is the VMT Freight Depot. Structural repairs and sprinkler piping have been installed, and we are waiting for the bulk delivery in mid-January. We will be installing the tap on the main and running the pipe to the vault site. Connection and testing of the fire sprinkler system, the alarm system, should be complete by mid-February. And then item three, Islands Fire Station building planning is ongoing as the Fire Protection District is anticipating some additional equipment to be housed in that facility. Lumex and Associates will be providing design work under their master contract with the county. And that is all I have.
Great.
Welcome any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Wurzbicki. Are there any questions from the commission?
No questions, thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you again, Jason. Next, we have projects. Do we have Mr. Northern on? Mike Northern?
That was part of the report I just gave.
Okay.
Jason was making for the record.
Sounds good. Thank you, Jason. next on my list, dispatch. Do we have Becky Parsons or Dave Ballard on?
Hey, good morning, everyone. Dave Ballard. Don't have too much. Just to kind of give you a little update on the communications building over there. The AT&T finally got a hold of us, and we have a kickoff meeting scheduled with them on the 7th, which is a Thursday. I guess they get going on the next gen 911, which is good news. It looks like they're ordering the stuff, and it should be in right around the 20th of the month, and then from there to installation. So I'm thinking we're still a month or 5 weeks away from getting into the 911 center. But that's what we stand with that. And just on another note, this is my final. I know we said goodbye a couple weeks ago, but this is it. I'm gone on Thursday. So just wanted to say thank you to everyone. Commissioner Mitchell, good luck. Sorry if we ever get a chance to work with you, but I guess it is what it is. That's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dave. Are there any questions from the commission for Dave? One last time.
Dave, I'd just like to send out a sincere thank you for all of the upgrades that you brought us and the changes. And we certainly are in a great position here in our county with all of our emergency responses. And kudos to you. We will miss you. You've done a great job. And thank you for all the service.
Well, thank you, and thank you for all your support on this. This is all of us, you know, getting this thing put together. We've been talking about it for years, and we finally got the, you know, the ball in the court and got moving with it. Just didn't go to get to the finish line yet because of COVID, but we're close.
Well, we'll send you pictures, David. Don't worry.
Perfect. I'll come up and work. I'll do a cameo appearance.
There you go. Thank you again for all your service, Dave. You will be missed.
Thank you.
All right. Emergency management. Mr. Joe Curtis, is he on today?
I'm here, Mr. Chairman.
There you are.
Thank you, appreciate it. I'm here, real quick rundown here. As of today, we still have a total of only 66 cases as of from early March. 19 are active patients at this time, and we have 42 recoveries, and still only have the two deaths that occurred. We have the best record of all the counties in the state. Our positivity rate that relates to the period of time for the past 20 days is still 0.0. We did have one new case come in that was that broke our 17-day record. So now we're 4 days into a new one. So we'll see if we can keep that going. It's all of our public that is making that happen, all of our businesses that are making that happen, and all of our county personnel and so forth. But by following all the rules and so forth, and the guidelines, I think that's why we're where we are. excuse me. I'd like to make note that we took delivery of the new pickup for emergency management for pulling our trailer around to the different sites for testing and for vaccination work and so forth. And I'd like to thank Jennifer McKean and Trent Stretta for their efforts in making this happen. We've needed this for quite some time, and they took out all the stops and make this thing happen. Particularly Trent was working with the company to make us get that truck in rapid fashion. We appreciate it. Yesterday, we did about 100 vaccinations under the Tier 1 personnel level. We're still within the Tier 1 factories, which is first responders, healthcare workers, the people working at the pods and so forth. We were up at the public works yard. It was a nasty, cold, driving rain day yesterday. We did not do any COVID testing, but we did do all the vaccinations that we had up there. We had a lot of people show up. They were all scheduled, of course, because it's all by invitation and by appointment. But we didn't do COVID testing. It just didn't work for us to do it that yesterday. Our next COVID testing will be at Lockwood on January 13th from noon to 2 p.m. And no vaccinations will be done at Lockwood at that particular time, that particular schedule, but unless it should change. These things, I tell you, are changing on us every day, and sometimes twice a day, and sometimes by the hour. So, and all this stuff comes down and comes out of CDC and federal level and on a state level. So it sometimes drives us nuts trying to follow along with what changes each day. The next one then after Lockwood on the 13th will be the 27th of January. And we will be doing vaccinations and COVID testing on that same day. So on January 27th from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. will be the second dose of vaccination for those people that got vaccinations on January 4th here. And it's only for those that took vaccinations on January 4th here in Virginia City. Then from 11 to 1 p.m. will be people with first dose vaccinations, like that's the Tier 1 and possibly security. Then from 1 to 3 p.m. we'll be doing COVID testing. So that's going to be a long day, and that is what is this is looking like it's going to be the scheduling, doing two or three things during the course of the day, so as we move forward into February and so forth. Then as we move on down the road and we get into like Tier 3, Tier 4 areas, we might be doing three or four of these a month. Depends on what happens and how much time that they are going to give us to get these things done. So we're hoping to be able to see, it's all up in the air, so we're not really sure, because the Washoe County and the Quad County have to open up these other tiers, Tier 2 and so forth, at the same time. So it's a coordination effort to be able to open it up to like 75 plus people, and educators and so forth into next week. That's what we're kind of looking at, but it's possible, but we don't have an absolute set in stone at this point. Essential workers, we've had contact now with state officials that are needing to contact all the department heads. So Laura has arranged for them to have a contact for all department heads so that at some point within the next couple of weeks probably you will be likely to get an email from probably someone from the pharmacy board. That's who was asking for the information. And it will involve a link that you will provide to your personnel only. If you receive that link, you are not to pass that on to your best buddy down to the next block in your neighborhood or to anybody else except specifically those people within your purview of your department. This is becoming a problem. We did have to turn a person away yesterday. that had been made an appointment but was not within the tiers that we were providing vaccinations to yesterday. But it seems to be all moving pretty well overall from the big picture standpoint. There's some indication here, and it's been talked about for some time, but in the very near future, maybe in the next couple of weeks here, it looks like maybe CVS, Walgreens, and Walmart will be able to take appointments for vaccinations to the public as well. And that's still up in the air, but that's in the works to see down. So just watch for that info and media releases, news, and so forth. And we'll also try to keep you advised of that by emails and our county webpage. Tier 3 is well down the road yet. That's more into the general public areas, but we'll keep you informed on that as well. We'll send out the calendars that we have for when we're doing vaccination testing. And so I'll get that out to all of our county employees and so forth. That kind of information you can certainly pass on to anyone who so chooses to. The vaccinations that roll out in the Tier 2 and more generalized personnel will get to be busier. So when you get a vaccination notification, you'll arrive at that site, you'll park your car, you'll walk in, you'll do some paperwork, and you'll walk into another room, you'll get a shot, and you'll wait in your car for 15 minutes to be sure that you have no allergic reactions. Fire department will have, and has had, duties, ambulance and medic personnel standing by in case there's any problem at all. So we've had no problems, nobody's had the least bit of any kind of concerns or anything at all. So far, so good. Our weather is our big concern. Yesterday, as I say, was a zoo. It was not comfortable, it was difficult working in those conditions. The wind, I would estimate on the fly, was like, I think, around 14,000 miles an hour. But in reality, it was probably, I would say, at least a good 80 mile an hour wind, if not a little bit more. I know that there was a peak over, I think, on Peavine, they had 120, something like that, mile an hour wind. So that shipping container that we had was actually moving, not sliding around the ground, but you could feel it move up and down a little bit. Somebody said they were getting seasick, but I'm not sure if that really was true. We may, as we move forward, we'll be required probably 2 or 3, if not 4, of these vaccination sites a month. So we're going to be pretty busy as we move through, probably all the way through the summer months, and we'll be scheduling those people in. So other than that, I think that's it, unless you have any specific questions.
Thank you, Joe. I was the guy that got seasick. I was out there with my fellow CERT members directing traffic and doing other odds and ends trying to help out. I will say I was there firsthand. It was as a well-oiled machine as could be. The weather was indeed atrocious, but you know, everybody had a smile on their face, I think. But just wanted to thank the crew out there for doing that. Any other commissioners have any comments or questions for Joe?
No questions for me.
Yes.
I was just going to ask, as we move into these heavier scheduling, do we feel like we have the resources we need as far as volunteers and traffic and what have you? You know, especially talking about towards the end of the month, a much longer period on a single day.
Yeah, I think that we do. We just a couple of weeks ago we started recruiting from the sheriff's department from their CERT team people, and they have attended two or three, I can't remember for sure, 2 or 3 of our sites now with about 4 or 5 people. Jeep Posse personnel, they have been, you know, super in providing people. The biggest problem we end up with is that some of these people have, not some, but most of these people have jobs. And so these sites are on weekdays as a rule. And so these people take time off of their jobs. They make sure that they're there. The posse always has minimum of four people there to help us. Some, a couple of them are retired, so that, that works out well. But as we move forward, is you know, it's going to get probably tiring, and we've already started looking at having like multiple teams within there. So you might have like four people from the CERT team. You will work on one site, and you have the next site off, and a different team works it. So we may have to try to do that with the chief posse folks as well, because you know these guys are there almost every time, almost all the same guys. That is a potential problem. We are looking at moving the site from its location up at the Public Works due to the problems we had yesterday with weather, wind, and so forth, particularly for vaccinations. We have some other options, and I need to get with Austin later today and discuss that with potential options.
All right. Any other questions for Joe? All right. Thank you very much, Joe. Appreciate it. We will move on to community relations. Ms. Laura Mather, are you on today?
I am. Good morning.
Morning.
Laura Mather, Community Relations Coordinator for the record. Excuse me, I can see my glasses. Oh, I can see you now. I want to give my sincerest thanks to Eric Schoen and his entire staff at the Community Chest. Because of them, I hopefully will not go off the deep end with going through and working with all this COVID and its response. Honey Tapley has worked with us for the past, I believe, 5 months. She was paid under the CARES Act funding, and that funding ended on December 30th. So we were basically panicking because we need all the help that we can get. And thank you to the Community Chest. They secured a grant through Nevada Works. It is specifically for training people to work in the field of the COVID-19 response. So because of them, we will be able to keep Honey on with us 40 hours a week for the next 6 months. This not only helps the county out tremendously, but we have been Carson City Health and Human Services, who is coordinating all of this for the Quad County, is overwhelmed. Every single vaccination that they give, they have to report on within 36 hours of that vaccination being given. So it's not only coordinating those events, handling events, it's the paperwork that goes along with it. So they have reached out to all of the four counties within the Quad County and asked for help. So thanks to this grant from the Community Chest, we will be able to have Honey help them for 20 hours a week for the next 6 months, and then Story County for 20 hours a week for the next 6 months. And again, it could not have come at a better time. It's just going to be a tremendous help to everyone. And speaking of the volunteers, one of the duties that she will have will be our volunteer coordinator. So she will work with us as we move through these events, and making sure that we have plenty of volunteers, that everybody's scheduled, everybody knows where to go and on what time and what to do. And finally, I just want to thank the volunteers again for helping out yesterday. It was miserable. I have no doubt that I complained the entire time, and not one of the volunteers made a peep about complaining. So again, I really want to thank them for that. So that's the end of my report, and if anybody has any questions for me.
Thank you, Laura. Any comments from the commission? Nothing. All right. Moving on. The Virginia City Tourism Commission. Do we have someone from them on today? Denny?
Yeah, good morning, Commissioners, and Happy New Year to everybody.
Morning.
A couple quick updates. As you all know, last year, with the COVID, tourism industry across the country was hit probably one of the worst of any industry. And with that, we budgeted pretty conservatively. And just to give everybody a quick update, kind of as a ballpark where we are at here at the VCTC is we budgeted 1.27 in revenue. We're at 648, so just a little over half, just halfway through the fiscal year. And then on expenses, we budgeted 1.37, and we're only at 484. thousand. So we're well ahead and in a positive way, about 164,000 up from where we had projected. And that's not including a surprise, about a $30,000 grant from the CARES funding from Travel Nevada, which we haven't collected yet. So we're happy where we're sitting. We invested a lot of additional marketing in this last few months. And I think where we're sitting right now, we pulled the trigger on continuing that additional marketing through here in our dry market, mostly Reno. You'll see, I'm sure, a lot of billboards and TV ads and radio. We're going to continue that strong marketing presence for a couple more months to help us get through this, what we generally is one of our slowest times of the year. With that, we'll also be announcing the first quarter of special events here probably by the end of next week after we have our BCTC meeting. But there will not be any major events for January, and just one that we're looking at doing for February around Valentine's. But it will obviously adhere to our current guidelines with the COVID. But we're holding back a little bit on some of the announcements until we just get through this first quarter. But we'll have a good solid lineup like we always do, and with optimism in the air as far as being able to pull them off in a way that is compliant and is beneficial to our town. So. With that, that's all I have.
Jared, any
questions?
Thank you. Any of my fellow commissioners have questions for Denny?
No questions, Jared.
All right. Thank you again, Denny. Happy New Year.
Yep.
Next on my list, we have all things water and sewer. Do we have Mr. Mike Nevin on?
Good morning. For the record, Mike Nevin, thank you. Chairman Carmona, first off, I'd like to take the opportunity to welcome Clay to the board. Clay, good to see you there, and good luck. I'll give you a brief update on the two projects that we're working with here. The first one being the Hillside Tank Project. As I reported before, the coating process has begun. The sandblasters are on site. That process will, by the time it starts and finishes, takes about 4 to 6 weeks. And that's the interior and exterior coating of the first tank. Once that tank is completed, we'll fill it, disinfect it, and then have to drain it before we water into the system. There's some testing that has to occur. But once that tank is online, then the two existing will be removed, and we're anticipating that to happen probably March, but no later than the end of April, and then we can start the construction of the second final tank up there. We are in the process of finishing up some underground work up on the site because there's no snow on the ground. So a good opportunity to get that wrapped up before we get hit with the storm. Hopefully we are able to maintain the pretty decent weather we've had. It just makes things a little bit easier on the projects naturally. The other thing that they'll be doing is installing the automatic air release valve assembly up there on the main line. So then the underground would be pretty much completed up there on the site. As far as the Gold Hill wastewater plant, had a bit of a hiccup. The contractor, SMC, their project manager for that project, fell ill. Unfortunately, was in quarantine for over 2 weeks. He's back up and running now. We spoke yesterday with them. They are in the process of getting their subcontractors lined up. And it was good to hear yesterday from them that Raymond Brothers will be the subcontractor for the metal building that will be constructed on site down there to house the a treatment plant itself. So they'll start their shop drawings and then confirm that footings and foundation are meeting plans and specifications. So with a little bit of a hiccup, now they're anticipating a start date of the 18th. So it just pushed back a week. So we're hoping that to be the case. And that's all I have, unless one of the board members has a question.
Thank you, Mike. Any of my fellow commissioners have any questions for Mike?
No, thank you.
All right. Thank you again, Mike. Appreciate the update.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome. Next on my list is the Comptroller's Office.
Good morning, everybody. This is Jennifer McCain, Story County Comptroller, for the record. I just wanted to inform the board that we are moving forward with the next fiscal year's budget. So if you have any comments, concerns, questions you would like to discuss with me, I welcome your phone calls. As for all the department heads included, I've sent out the emails with directions, instructions, calendar dates. So if you have not received that, please contact me. That's all I have for today.
All right. Thank you, Jennifer. Do any of my fellow commissioners have any questions for Jennifer today?
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have the Assessor's Office.
Good morning. The Assessor's Office has nothing to report at this time. I would just like to say congratulations and welcome to Commissioner Mitchell. And we also have a very special birthday today at my office. It's Samantha Loper's 50th today, so everybody, I don't want to say stop by due to COVID, but feel free to give her a call and wish her happy birthday.
All right. Thank you. Happy birthday. Next on my list, Planning Department.
Good morning. I can just reiterate with what Austin mentioned earlier that we have three Planning Commission openings that we are doing interviews for. We got pushed back a little bit because of the holidays, but we're contacting people now to set up interviews, and we should have those recommendations before you soon. So thank you very much.
Great. Any questions for Kathy before I move on?
Thank you.
Okay. Next on my list is the Recorder's Office.
Good morning, Chairman, and welcome, Clay. This is Marty, Captain Martinez. We are continuing to match and match document images with data for the time frame of 1982 to 88. So check online. That's exciting stuff for us. We've also received all final images back for our historic documents, 1859 to 1974, and we're working with our software provider to integrate those into the system so you don't have to necessarily come in here and search old books anymore. It's all digitized. That'll be wonderful when that's online. So that's it for us.
Great. Thank you very much, Marnie. Fellow commissioners, have any questions for Marnie? Nope. All right. Next, we have the IT department. We have James with us today. I don't see him. I will just say that for those that haven't caught it, they have put out a newsletter, which I think we'll all find pretty useful. So with that said, we will move on. Human Resources. We have Toby with us this morning.
Yes, good morning. Thank you. Human Resources has nothing to report today.
All right, thank you. Community Development is up next.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Mark Mesmito for the record. Community Development Director and County Fire Marshal. I'd like to wish congratulations to Commissioner Mitchell. And welcome aboard. A couple things real quick. I know I covered it in the last meeting, but the Tyler programs that we had purchased, the first one, the inspection program, Tyler Mobilized, is the training has been completed, and we are up and running and conducting inspections with that software now. You know, there's still a color reserve. They have several different versions that we can actually conduct the inspections on our cell phones now and our tablets. And at the same time, still do reports in the desktop computer. So there's three different ways to get those completed. So that's going well. The in-code side, the permitting and business licensing part of Tyler, we will be starting our training either in this week or next week, and then we will be on board with that shortly after on that side. The monthly dashboard report is completed and will be uploaded onto our website today. And for the commissioners, you will be getting an email from me with the copy of the dashboard on there.
Great.
And that's all I have.
Thank you very much, Martin. My fellow commissioners, have any questions for Martin?
No questions.
All right. Moving right along. Do we have Eric Schoen from Community Chest with us this morning?
Yes, good morning, Chairman.
Morning.
And welcome aboard, Commissioner Mitchell.
Thank you.
So, yeah, I do have a few updates for you. Just to provide some context before we look forward, I want to look backward. Everybody knows that we do the Angel Tree Program and we do the Holiday Food Basket Program. We saw some of the highest need, highest level of numbers we've seen in my almost 25 years of working for Community Chest. We had 150 Angel Tree gift recipients, which is considerable and amazing given how much of that was impacted by COVID. And we still were able to place trees, businesses were still able to work with us. All of the folks who helped to adopt those angels, we can't say enough. We can't do this. I mean, you can imagine it's a logistical nightmare to try and match all of those gifts and to receive and to then distribute all of those gifts. And we were able to have all of those gifts distributed before Christmas. One of those deliveries happened Christmas morning. In fact, our chief elf received a call from a young girl who was distraught because Santa hadn't come. And our chief elf informed her that Santa had come by and found the package that he meant to deliver on his sled when he returned to the North Pole, and that if she would just give him a minute, give her a minute, she would deliver the gift to this little girl. And so she drove over Christmas morning to make sure that this girl had her gift and made her day. So we had her for the Angel Tree gifts, and then our food basket program for the Christmas season, we served 207 people. I don't think we've ever broken 200 before. I think our previous highest total was somewhere between 160 and 180. So we had 207 people, which speaks, I think, to the level of need and the level of interruption happening from COVID and it's all the ramifications. We are having more folks who are expressing. So we are. We have an advisory board, Community Chest. Stacy York is on the Community Chest Board. She's helping me start that advisory board, and it's really gone really well for the feedback that we've gotten from community members. And we are getting more and more feedback that we need to take a look at affordable housing, not only for seniors on fixed incomes, but also for young families who are struggling to make ends meet. I don't know what that looks like. I'm not an expert in affordable housing. Brand new area for me, and Stacy and I talked about needing to get up to speed on that, but just to sort of plant a seed for you all that we are hearing more about that. That people like living in Story County, and as you know, housing is becoming more expensive around the region. I don't know, what that looks like, just passing that on. And now looking forward, now that school has reopened, our early childhood education center, some people call it our preschool, is open 5 days a week. So if folks have that need, they can call and see if there's still space. And we also have our before and after school programs for elementary and middle school students that are open as well, as well as all of our other services. But I highlight those because they're offered face-to-face, meaning that kids can come by and actually participate in the program. So that's all I have. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer those.
Thank you very much, Eric. Any of my fellow commissioners have any comments or questions for Eric?
I was just going to say thank you for the work you're doing, Eric, and I'm happy to brainstorm some ideas on the affordable housing. I'm not an expert either, but I have a few thoughts, so just feel free to reach out. I'd be happy to talk about some of the ideas that I have.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thanks.
Thank you. Next, we have the Senior Center. Do we have Stacy with us this morning?
Good morning, Stacy York for the record. Only one new update today. We have our mobile harvest coming to Virginia City on January 19th, and that's open to the whole public. It's at the parking lot on 6 Mile and D Street, and we have fresh produce, fresh meat, fresh dairy, so come on by 10 to 11 and see if there's something you need and spread the word.
And Stacy, what was that date again?
It's January 19th.
Great. And that is open to all Story County residents, just to clarify?
Yes. Yeah.
Fantastic. Fellow commissioners, have any questions for Stacy?
No questions.
Stacy, are there particular times for that mobile harvest?
It's 10 to 11.
Great. Thank you.
Uh-huh. All right. Thank you very much, Stacy. Next on my list, Lockwood Transportation. Do we have Ms. Pena on with us today? Louise, I see you. Going once.
Hey, everybody.
There you go. I am here, loud and clear.
Okay, well, we don't do RSVP anymore in Lockwood. I am backing the county's transportation with Stacy and Brooke. I really do know that we need a lot of advertisements. We've got to get it out there. I know the need down here in Lockwood for transportation is big, the same as so many other things that Stacy's working on. We just got to get it out to the public that this is a really good program from Story County. It's there. It's available. Working out kinks, but love to have it.
Great. Thank you very much, Louise. Do my fellow commissioners have any questions for Louise or anything regarding transportation in Lockwood? All right, thank you. Next, Mark Twain Community Center. Do we have anybody representing them today out there? I see no one. We will move on to the Fourth Ward School. You with us, Nora? There you go.
Yes, I am. Good morning, commissioners, and welcome, Clay Mitchell, Commissioner Clay Mitchell, to Story County and to the Fourth Ward. Happy New Year, of course, and some things to report for the Fourth Ward. We're working hard for the new season to open as well. We got awarded for the CCHP and SHPO grant to restore the whole entire trend of the west side of the Fourth Ward. So this spring, we're going to start construction. So just if you have any questions, please let me know. And again, I want to wish a happy and healthy new year to everyone.
Thank you, Nora. Do my fellow commissioners have any questions regarding the Fourth Ward?
No questions, thank you, Jay.
All right.
Thank you.
Moving right along. St. Mary's Arts Center. Do we have Erica out there today? I do not see her. All right. Moving right along. Do we have anybody from the V&T Rail Commission with us today?
You have Elaine Spencer?
Good morning. Oh, you're back on mute again. There you go.
Okay, can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Very good. So
So my only report is that our next meeting will be held on Thursday, January 28th. And it'll either be a Zoom meeting or possibly utilizing the new setup at the Carson City Community Center. We've scrapped out a season this year, even though we weren't able to run trains. And our plans and hopes are that we can run maybe a partial season next year with limited seating. But of course, that will depend on the state's mandates dealing with the pandemic. So that is yet to be determined. I would also like to let you know that at the January 28th meeting, I'm going to recommend an open letter to the counties involved, being Carson City and Story County, and the state of Nevada, sending an open letter asking them for their expectations relating to their investment in the BNT railway system. And that information will be used to kickstart a sustainability plan for the BNT railway. It's been a long time coming, and it's a good time to address long-term planning for the operation.
Great. Anything else, Elaine?
No, that was it.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. My fellow commissioners, have any questions for Elaine?
No, thank you.
All right. Next on my list is Piper's Opera House. Do we have Whitney with us today? I do not see you, so we will move on. Justice Court. Do we have any reports from the Justice Court today? I will take that as a note. How about our DA's office?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. I have nothing today, but I just wanted to say welcome to Commissioner Mitchell, and can't wait to work with you. So that's about all I have. Thanks.
Thank you, Ann. And my fellow commissioners, have any questions for Ann?
No, thank you.
Nope. All right. Next is County Manager Osborne. What do you have for us today?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple items. Just to let you know, in accordance with Assembly Bill 240 in 2019, all the county managers and city managers in the region have been collaborating and had a pretty significant meeting last week. And we discussed everything that our counties are doing regionally. That means with the cities of Reno and Sparks, Carson City, Douglas, Lyon County, and Washoe County and Story County. We talked about flooding and flood management and collaborating projects we're doing, especially with Washoe County and Lyon County in the Mark Twain area. Transportation, the La Posada route, going from USA Parkway to North Spanish Springs area and the Washoe County landfill. The affluent line, regional water projects, including the water system between Carson City and Story County and the state of Nevada. The Quad County emergency management, the efforts they do there, as well as the COVID and the vaccination efforts that Joe and Laura and those folks are working with Quad County. Telecommunications, 911 systems and other radios, extended stay hotels at the Tri-Center and what they're doing to help with traffic on Interstate 80. Mutual aid that the fire district provides in the region, particularly in the I-80 corridor. Sheriff services in the same area as well as otherwise. And other services that we're doing interregionally working together. This will all be compiled into a report sent to the legislature and will be reviewed in the next upcoming legislative session as specified in AB 240. At that point, we'll see what happens beyond that. Secondly, we engaged in our first negotiation session with the Marlott Water Carson City Agreement with Carson City, Story County, the state of Nevada, and Tumwa. And that is the action that was taken last year by this board, the Tumwa Board, the Carson City Board, and the state of Nevada to get that agreement up to par with 2021 and up to date. And then last but not least, I made an outreach to the Carson City Health and Human Services about renewing conversations for Carson City potentially to consider having us as part of their health department and for us to leave the state of Nevada. That would provide a much better benefit to our local businesses here in town in having a consistency in inspection services and other services provided. That will be an ongoing discussion that I think will take as much time as it needs and ultimately would be up to board commission approval and Carson City. Carson City does provide similar services for Douglas County. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Austin. Do my fellow commissioners have any questions for Austin?
No, thank you.
No questions.
All right, last but not least, our very own clerk. You have anything for us today?
Nothing today, thank you.
All right. Thank you to all the staff that's here. I appreciate the information. brings us to our next item, board comments. We will start off with new vice chairman, Clay Mitchell.
Thank you, Chair. Certainly was a problem to be nominated vice chair. Happy to serve in any way I can. Just wanted to say a quick thank you to everybody for making me feel welcome and your encouragement. And you know, I missed the last meeting. Wanted to quickly thank Commissioner McBride for his years of service and some big shoes to fill. So appreciate everyone's patience as I get into things, and will probably stick my foot in my mouth more than once, but. Happy to be on board and do my best. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll be here to call you out. Don't worry. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything for us today, sir?
No, nothing today. Thank you.
All right. I got my birthday wish out of the way, so that leads us to item number 11. This is a discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of resolution number 21-600, declaring January 2021... as National Radon Action Month for the purpose of radon gas awareness. County Manager Osborne, would you like to take over?
Chairman, I believe that Susan Howell from the University of Nevada, Reno is with us.
Oh, okay. You out there, Susan?
Well, if not, I'll be happy to take it.
Go for it. I don't see her.
Well, it's pretty self-explanatory. Every year is National Radon Awareness Month, and this is just a proclamation by the board, just providing public outreach and letting folks know the dangers of radon gas, and reminding that there are test kits available for no cost that UNR can provide, and if you want to have your house and your property tested.
All right. Thank you. Do we have any public comment regarding this? Nobody's passionate about radon. All right. With that said, any comments or my fellow commissioners like to make a motion?
I'm happy to do so if you'd like, Chair.
Please.
I, Clay Mitchell, move to approve Proclamation 21-600 declaring January 2021 as National Radon Action Month for the purpose of radon gas awareness.
All right. I have a motion. Sorry, Lance.
I'll second the motion, Jay.
All right. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Next, on to item number 12, discussion for possible action. Provide direction to the county manager and staff to support a bill in the 2021 Nevada legislature which would allow Story County to become a voting member of the Carson Water Subconservancy District in manner which causes no tax increase to occur in Story County. County Manager Osborne, would you like to take it from here?
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. Chairman, yes. And I just want to note that Ed James, he's the director for the Carson Water Subconservancy. He's also on if there's any questions you'd like to direct to him for his board. So we participated in the Carson Water Subconservancy myself roughly for 11 years. There's been some changes in the structure of finding, you know, what's a member and what's a committee member. But nevertheless, Story County's been involved with his group, which includes counties that are in the Carson River watershed, starting with Elk Lake County, California, and then Douglas County, Carson City, Lyon, and Churchill. Story County is not quite an official member because the river doesn't run through our county. Nevertheless, we are in their watershed, and what we do contributes to their issues and vice versa. So we participated with this group on projects. If you know the annual Weed Abatement Program, we do throughout Southern Story County, Mark Twain, Comstock, Gold Hill, and that area to restore and get rid of noxious weeds. We've done LIDAR flyovers of this entire area that really are the foundation for other projects we do in flood mitigation and studies. We've worked in Mark Twain under a massive flood mitigation plan, the Dayton Valley Area Master Plan. That was a collaborative effort of Lyon County. That includes two-dimensional animated mapping that Kathy and her group use when they're building and doing permits out in that area. That will also become a foundation for us to build potential upstream detention and culverts and other flood mitigation projects in that community. They help Kathy and her team with our National Flood Insurance Program, the CRS, points that result in Lockwood folks getting a 10% discount on their flood insurance. They assist us with the master plan in 2016 with everything regarding water, flooding, and drainage management. They provide education outreach at our local schools, and they help us with grants and other opportunities. This is an amazing group of people that includes farmers and county commissioners and staff people from all over this region. And it's really an agency that is focused on conservation and making things right both for urban areas and agriculture areas. And most importantly, you know, it's a non-regulatory board. They are really there to make things work and make things happen and build collaboration between the partners. This bill here would go into the legislature to be considered an official member of the subconservancy. That would allow us to participate more in an active role at the table with these people and issues affecting Story County and downstream. And also would allow us access better to FEMA grants and other regional collaboration things that provide for federal funding and other benefits to the county as well as the region. There would be no tax increase on this. It should be noted that the other counties that are involved do pay an ad valorem into the subconservancy. The bill that we would propose would not have that element. We would just pay a fee directly from our fund or a fund. It would not result in a tax increase, and if it did, we would not support the bill. And at this point, I'm happy to answer any questions. Ed James is also on board. If you have any questions for him.
Mr. James, before we move on to questions, is there anything you'd like to state on the record?
Sorry, a little late on me. For the record, Ed James with the Carson Water Subconservancy District, and I thought Austin covered it really well. We are a regional agency dealing with watershed issues from environmental to water supply to habitat. I think it's real important to understand that we do not have any regulatory authority. What we do is provide counties with a broad perspective. You guys know what's going on in Story County, but what we bring is what's happening in the other counties surrounding you and how it may impact you, and then bring those ideas back to you. So anything that's developed or moved forward has to be approved by the individual counties. A lot of the flood work we're doing is really helpful, I think, to Story County, and hopefully we can continue that process. I'm here if you have any questions.
Thank you, Ed. Before I go to my fellow commissioners, I'm going to go and see if there's any public comment regarding this matter. Going once, going twice. Do my fellow commissioners have any questions for either Austin or James or Ed?
So, James, this is Lance, and I do support us becoming a voting member. I think it's very important that we stay informed about what is happening, and I'm glad that you've been doing it. Certainly, have been participating, as you said, for the last 10 or 11 years. So, becoming a voting member, if that works out of the bill, I think would be a proper thing to do. Thank you.
Commissioner Mitchell, anything?
Yeah, I'll just chime in to say that it sounds like we get some good value from our association, and I also support becoming a full voting member. I'm appreciative that that staff has put the stipulation in there that does not get added as an ad valorem, because I'm very sensitive, especially in these times, to raising taxes or putting that burden directly on the citizens. So looking forward to continuing to work with the subconservancy.
Sounds great. I echo both what my fellow commissioners say. It's something of interest to Story County. We need to make sure that we are as involved as possible. So with that said, if you are so inclined to make a motion.
I'll be happy to do that. In accordance with the recommendation by staff, I, Clay Mitchell, move to direct the county manager and staff to support the bill in the 2021 Nevada legislature, which will allow Story County to become a voting member of the Carson Water Subconservancy District in a manner which causes no tax increase to occur in Story County.
And I'll second that motion, Jay.
All right. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
All right. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Mr. James, for taking the time to be here, and thank you, Austin, for the information.
Look forward to working with you.
Look forward to it. All right, on to item number 13. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible action regarding disposal of 44 handheld radios and 20 car radios to be sold or donated to another law enforcement agency. Somebody from the Sheriff's Office like to take over from here?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With the radio system upgrades and new radios that were purchased, we've got a number of radios that are not capable of being switched over to the new system. And so we're just looking to get rid of them. We have traded some for upgraded radios, but these are ones that there's really no use for, so we're looking to either sell them off, or if in absence of selling them, we'll donate them to one of the other rural agencies that can use them that's still on a system they're capable of operating on.
Fantastic. Before I go to my fellow commissioners, is there any public comment regarding this matter? Seeing no public comment, I'm going to reach out to my commissioners. Do you guys have any questions for the sheriff on this?
No questions here, Jay.
Thank you, Lance.
No, thank you, Chair. I think this is pretty straightforward.
Fairly straightforward. I have no questions, so with that said, if you'd like to entertain a motion.
Yeah, I'll be happy to do that. I, Clay Mitchell, move to approve the disposal of 44 handheld radios and 20 car radios to be sold or donated to another law enforcement agency.
Second that motion.
All right. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Great. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Next on the list is consideration and possible action regarding additional budget expenditures for RIMS, NIBRS, upgrade. I'm going to default back to the sheriff on this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is something that has come up since we approved this year's budget. It's been the FBI records crime statistics through the use of the Uniform Crime Reports, which is known as UCRs. They are in the process of transferring to the NIBR system, which is National Incident-Based Reporting System, supposed to give a clearer reflection of crime statistics all across the country. I mean, we're kind of stuck. We have to do the reports, but it came up during the discussions of the upgrades that there has to be additional programming done. We were only just recently told that that is going to cost, I believe, right around $16,000. There are some grant fundings available, but they are reimbursement grants, so we would have to pay this up front and then be reimbursed for a portion of it. In the interim, because the feds are already starting to do this, and it's still in the testing phases, some of this we will be doing by hand, but it takes an extraordinary amount of time to do the conversion from UCR to neighbors. And this is something that is affecting all of the Sun Ridge or RIMS, and that's the actual computer system that we use. There's half a dozen or so agencies in Nevada that are on this, and then they are also nationwide. So it's everybody has to pay their fair share of it. But like I said, Lander County is the point where the state of Nevada, they've secured this grant funding to help with reimbursement. So that's why it wasn't accounted for in our initial budgeting. So I don't know if Jennifer wanted to add anything as far as budget funding, or if James from IT had anything as far as the computer aspect of the IT aspect, but that's why we're coming back and asking for additional funds at the present time.
Okay, before I go to public comment, did Jennifer want to weigh in on this, or from the comptroller's office?
This is Jennifer. I just want to say that we've gone over this quite in depth with the sheriff's office and agree that this is a necessary option, and I'm confident that when we augment the budget, we can make up for this. It's a very explainable extra expense and a necessary one, so we are determined to find the money to create this possibility.
Great. Thank you, Jennifer. I will reach out to the public, see if there's any public comment regarding this item on the agenda. All right, nobody from the public. Do my fellow commissioners have any questions for the sheriff or Jennifer?
So, Lance here, Jay, and the only question I've had, do I understand that it is still being reviewed by the FBI? Is there a possibility that they will not implement and adopt, or have they already made the decision to adopt it? Is this a process that we're not able to ignore?
If I may, Mr. Chairman, the FBI is already moving to this. What is still in the review process, and I probably didn't explain it very clearly, is just there has to be validations of the system. They are moving to the NIBRS. We are mandated to move into the NIBRS reporting system, but as far as the actual, they have to go back and check the accuracy of the reporting records. And what that entails, just real briefly, is like I said, Lander County's taking the point on this. They are implementing stuff. They will be under a real strict scrutiny for, I believe it's 6 months, to make sure that the records are accurate. They'll be doing actually this new system plus some type of a backup and counting type of a deal to verify that the information is accurate for all of the other agencies that are in the same software predicting that. They'll go through a spot check after Lander County has verified that the system does in fact work. So yes, it is moving. It's just clarifying or validating the accuracy of the records.
All right. Thank you, Sheriff. Any more questions, Lance, for Sheriff Antonoro?
No, thank you very much, Sheriff.
All right. Clay, did you have anything?
No, thank you.
All right. Neither do I. With that said, if you would be so kind to entertain a motion.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. I, Clay Mitchell, move to approve the $16,000 additional expenditure for the RIMS NIBRS upgrade.
I'll second that motion.
All right, I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
All right, motion passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you. Now on to item number 15. This is for discussion of possible action, consideration and possible approval of an amount not to exceed $17,500 for the purchase of a central scanning absentee vote by mail hardware image cast central kit. The funds will be covered by Story County's CARES Act funds allotment. Vanessa, would you like to take from here?
Yeah. Good afternoon. Vanessa Stevens for the record. This purchase would allow us to buy the equipment that we use to process all the mail and absentee ballots during the 2020 election cycle. Due to everything going into mail-in, we had to upgrade the size of the scanner, and that was going to be leased from Dominion. Now that the election's done, they're offering purchase of the equipment at a pretty good discount. They're taking $7,500 off. I think with having used mail-in these last two cycles, we're going to see a big uptick going into 2022 for the request of absentee and mail-in ballots. And having this equipment on hand allows us to process in minutes versus hours using the small desktop scanner that we had on hand. So I think this is a pretty unique opportunity being offered by Dominion, and I would love to take advantage of it.
All right. I'm going to go to public comment first. Is there anybody in the public that would like to comment on this matter? Going once.
This is Louise Pena.
Yes, you have the floor.
My experience of the Dominion scanners is that's what was here in Lockwood. I think those scanners were very, very poor. When I signed my name, you could not even begin to tell that that was my name that I signed. Not once, but both times. And I'm not sure that's worth our money. To me, this is just a good way to do fraud. So that's my opinion. I was not happy with it. I have let the powers to be in the election group know that I was not happy with the scanners at Lockwood, and that's where I'm at.
Thank you, Louise. Appreciate your comment. Is there any other public comment regarding this matter? All right, I see no one. Vanessa, would you like to chime in for a moment?
Louise, I just wanted to clarify that this is different equipment than what was on site in Lockwood. This is the scanner and software that we use at the courthouse to scan the ballots. But thank you for bringing your concerns forward. I do appreciate that.
All right, one more time for any public comment regarding this issue. All right, I see no one. I'm going to defer to my fellow commissioners first. Any questions or comments regarding this? Nothing.
I'll go ahead if I may, Chair. I know there are some people that are either concerned with or unhappy with with Dominion per se, some question about accuracy and what have you. I know that's not what we're here to decide or discuss. I just wanted to know if the choice of provider or machinery is something that we have some flexibility with locally, or if that's something that we need to work with a particular system so that it integrates with the state and what have you.
That is actually the question I have. So I'll let you answer, Vanessa.
Yeah, we do have the ability to pick who provides our election equipment and software. Of the 17 counties in the state, 16 use Dominion. Carson City went with a system called ES&S, and everything's done on paper there. They don't have the touch screens like we do.
Okay.
As the group of clerks and election administrators across the state and the Secretary of State's office, we went with Dominion over 10 years ago now. And I've personally been very happy with their equipment and support.
Commissioner Mitchell, are you have any more questions?
No, that's just fine. I just have one follow-up question. To make sure that I understand exactly what this item is, first of all, that we're getting a good discount on it, but also that this would come out of CARES Act funding, so it would not necessarily be funded from our general fund. Is that correct?
That is correct. We're using CARES because the purchase was needed for the COVID mail-in elections.
Great. And if we delay or don't act, then is it likely that we'll lose access to that CARES Act money?
Yes.
All right. I, Vanessa, do have one more question. So There's obviously been some concern regarding the national election, and Dominion has been at the forefront. Mm-hmm. Does this this equipment is simply a, for the lack of a better word, a fancy desktop scanner?
Yeah.
So for those that would have concerns like, you know, information was changed as it was inputted, that is probably not going to be the case with this device.
Right. This is just a large paper scanner.
Perfect.
That processes those mail-in ballots.
Fantastic. All right. I will reach out to the public one more time if there's any more public comment. Speak quickly. Going once, going twice. All right. Vice Chair Mitchell, would you like to entertain us with a motion today?
Yeah, I'll be happy to put forth a motion. I, Clay Mitchell, move to approve the purchase of the central scanning absentee vote by mail hardware image cast central kit, understanding that the funding will be covered by the Story County CARES Act fund.
I'll second that motion.
All right, I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All right. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Vanessa, for the information. Next item on the agenda is to recess to convene as the Story County Fire Protection District Board. Item number 17, election of chairman to the Story County Board of Fire Commissioners for a term of 1 year pursuant to Story County Code 2.04.008. Who's going to jump in?
I can jump in on that. If it's all right with my fellow commissioners, I'd like to make a motion that Chair Carmona serve also as the chair of the fire board.
I'll second your motion.
All right. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much. It will be my pleasure. Item number 18, election of vice chairman to the Story County Board of Fire Commissioners for a term of 1 year pursuant to Story County Code 2.04.008.
I'll make a motion that the election of vice chair to the Story County Board of Fire Commissioners for a term of 1 year pursuant to the Story County Code 2.04.008.
Is who? Who do you want, Lance?
What's that?
Who did you want as vice chairman?
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I think there's a gentleman named Clay Mitchell there. I just forgot that little detail.
No problem.
But he's actually our vice chairman, and I think we voted him as the vice chair earlier in the meeting.
Oh, we did, but this one is for the Board of Fire Commissioners.
That's right.
Yep. All right, so I have a motion. I will second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much. Next item is a discussion for possible action. It says consideration and possible approval of amendments to existing Story County Fire Protection District Policy 064-SCFPD Compensation. Toby, would you like to chime in on this?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Staff feels that it's appropriate to offer the same opportunity for earned incentive pay to the fire chief that is currently available to the battalion chiefs, according to policy 064. So the proposed changes you see just reflect that.
All right. I'm going to go to the public first. Is there anyone in the public that would like to speak up on this? Going once, going twice, Chief Longcar, are you looking to speak?
Yes, just getting on here.
No problem.
Just wanted to comment just on this before motion's made. This is one thing that obviously has good, I guess, consequences, but it's a driving force to help just push our people into further education, as well as compensate them for what they bring back and provide to the district. But this in particular with myself was kind of more in line to also make this position more comparable as far as finances to some of the surrounding region, which I would like to work more closely with the board in the future to try to fix that last step, which is the fire chief position, and continue the work that Chief Nevin has done as far as fixing the firefighters' positions as well as the battalion chief's positions.
All right. Any other public comment regarding this matter? I see nothing. I'm going to reach out to my fellow commissioners. Commissioner Gilman, you have any questions regarding this?
I have no questions prior to further discussion.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, you have any questions?
I don't have any questions. I think that overall, I'm supportive of, as much as we have the ability to tie compensation to merit, I think that's good for us. And encourage, like as the chief said, encourages our personnel to bring additional expertise to the district. So I think I'd be in favor of this.
All right. I will again reach out one more time to the public. Any comment? All right. Seeing none. If so inclined, I'd like to get a motion on this.
I'll make that motion, Chair. Now, based on the recommendation of staff, I, Commissioner Mitchell, make a motion to approve the proposed amendments to Story County Fire Protection District Policy 064, SCFPD compensation.
A second for motion.
All right, I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
All right. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. That brings us on to item number 20, recess to reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. On to item number 21, discussion for possible action, consideration and possible action in accordance with NRS 278.577, resolution number 21-599, to establish the requirements for certifying and for continuing education for a person who, on a full-time basis, fills the position of building official, reviews plans, or inspects a structure or building, or a portion of a structure or building, pursuant to NRS 278.570 or 278.575. Toby, would you like to take it from here?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Staff has been working closely with the Community Development Director, and we've identified the need for this resolution establishing the certification and continuing education requirements for a building official. In doing so, we will be in compliance with NRS and able to work with the director on the structure of this department moving into the future.
Okay. Is there any public comment regarding this? Not seeing any public comments. I'm going to reach out to my fellow commissioners.
You know, Jay, this is Lance here, and I see this as a very important requirement, and I will certainly support it.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
No, thank you.
All right. With that said, I have no comment either. So if one of you would like to entertain a motion.
I'd be happy to do that, Chair. In recommendation in accordance with NRS 278.577, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve resolution number 21-599 to establish the requirements for certifying for continuing education for a person who on a full-time basis fills the position of building official, reviews plans, or inspects a structure or a portion of a structure built pursuant to NRS 278.570 or 278.575.
I'll second that motion.
All right, I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Toby. On to item number 22, which has been continued. That leaves us with item number 23, discussion for possible action, approval of business license second readings, item A. Is there any public comment regarding this? Seeing no public comment, assuming my commissioners have no comment regarding this, I'd like to see a motion, please.
I'll be happy to do that, Chair. I, Clay Mitchell, move to approve the second reading of the licenses as outlined in the agenda.
I'll second that motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thank you. That brings us to our next item, which is from the consent agenda. It's item number 23, if I'm not mistaken. Excuse me, after 23. Austin, would you like to take over?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, that'd be fine. You removed item 7, Roman numeral 3, from the consent agenda. I would like to ask that in that item, number 3, Historic Fort Worth School and Museum Board, the appointment be Jay Carmona instead of Clay Mitchell, and then staff recommends that the rest of the appointees are made as presented.
All right, thank you very much. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Actually, Nora, you're welcoming me back, and you had Clay. You had Clay for just a second.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
Okay, welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm a mistake.
No problem, Nora. All right. So if there is no other, thank you. If there is no public comment, I'll reach out to my fellow commissioners for any comment regarding this. Anything, gentlemen?
No, I'll just say that, Nora, you did not misread the agenda. That's what we're fixing now. It read that I was going to be on the board, which I would have been happy to do, but Jay and I thumb wrestled over it, and he won. So.
Well, thank you, Clay, and I wish you all the best for this as a commissioner. So all best wishes to you.
Thank you, and you'll have the support of all of us.
All right, so do we want to make a motion to approve the modified item number, section 3 from item 7 in the consent agenda?
Sure, I'll make that motion. I, Clay Mitchell, move to approve item 7, Roman numeral 3, with the one adjustment to item number 3 on that, which is Jay Carmona instead of Clay Mitchell on Historic Fourth Ward School and Unique Board.
Second that motion.
All right, I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
All right, motion passes unanimously. It brings us to item number 24, which is public comment. Is there any public comment out there regarding anything? Going once. Going twice. Sold. All right. With that said, before we move on to item number 25 and adjournment, I do just want to thank everybody. Welcome back, Commissioner Gilman, and welcoming new Vice Chairman Clay Mitchell to the Board of Commissioners. Look forward to 2021 being a great year. With that said, it is 11:34, and I'm going to call this meeting adjourned. Thank you very much. See you all in 2 weeks. Everybody.